you. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We are right in the middle of what many people refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And in this message, our Lord is dealing with many different things. In chapter 6, specifically, it's chapters 5, 6, and 7. And in chapter 6, He deals with almsgiving, and He deals with praying, and He deals with forgiving. And now we're going to look at what He has to say about fasting. All right, so I want to encourage us to ask the Lord to reveal this to us. I pray the Lord will truly, truly reveal this to us. Matthew 6, verse 16. He said, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." The Scripture talks about fasting a lot. It talks about it a lot. Fasting is not eating anything for a certain period of time. And in some cases, not drinking anything for a certain period of time. Fasting is an emptiness. That's what fasting is. Fasting is a feeling of emptiness. And it's a denial. It is a conscious denial. It's a conscious decision to deny what would satisfy and feed and nourish the flesh. Now, are we reading between the spiritual lines yet? Fasting is an emptying out. It's a denial of what would gratify and what would be satisfying to and what would be pleasing to this flesh. What the flesh is craving. What would feed the flesh. It's a willing acknowledgement of lack. Lack in me. It is not catering to my flesh. It's a denial of self. It's a no. It's a denial of self. And the Lord said, if that denial of self-gratification, if that emptiness brings sorrow to you, that feeling of emptiness, if it brings sorrow to you, He said, don't put a sad countenance on your face, which is what we do. That's what the flesh wants to do. You know, it wants to put a sad, if I'm, you know, I want everybody to know, if I'm feeling this way, then I want everybody to know. He said, don't do that so that we can, on purpose, don't disfigure your face, He said. Don't put a sad countenance on your face so that people will look at us and notice that we're sad and feel sorry for us. Our Lord said, don't do that. He said, that's still an effort to bring gratification to the flesh. Like it's a last-ditch effort to gratify the flesh. God's people know, when it comes to our standing before God, there cannot be any gratification of the flesh. None whatsoever. God's people want it that way. They want it to be that way. They deny their flesh. They deny themselves. So our Lord said, you bring your sorrow and you bring your lack and you bring your emptiness to God alone. And He said, before men, before each other, brush your hair, wash your face, and put a smile on. So no attention will be openly brought to you. And He said, if you do that, your Heavenly Father, which sees what's going on inside of you secretly, He will fill all of your emptiness. He will openly provide for all your lack. Now, as one man used to say, this is bifocal. The Scriptures are bifocal. This has a spiritual application, and this has a physical application. It has both. I do want to tell you that neither application, if we're talking about a spiritual application here or a physical one, neither application has anything to do with whether or not we eat food. Nothing to do with that. Refraining from food is not a religious practice. Not eating food does not make us holier. Some people believe it does, you know. It doesn't make us closer to God. The issues of life are not out of the stomach. They're out of the heart. They are out of the heart. And in both the spiritual application and the physical application, they are both referring to matters of the heart before God and before men. Now, let me prove that to you, all right? Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, look with me at verse 9. Our Lord spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, that's a religious person, that's a religious leader of the Jews. And the other, a publican. That is a sinful man. Verse 11 says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Now watch verse 12. He said, I fast twice in the week. He said, I don't extort anybody. Not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I fast twice in the week. He said, I give tithes of all that I possess, not just my money, my corn, my whatever. Verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord said in verse 14, I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee said, I fast twice in the week. I take 2 days out of the week and I don't eat any food. And the Lord said, you are exalting yourself in that. Even in that rejection of food, you are glorifying your flesh in that. as though what you're doing accounts for something with God. He said it doesn't, and you are not going to be justified in what you're doing. That Pharisee fasted with his stomach, but here was his problem. He was not fasting with his heart. He never truly felt an emptiness before God. That Pharisee, we can read it, he didn't feel empty at all. Never felt his lack before God. He may have denied his stomach some food, but his heart never denied himself. But verse 13 says, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That publican was fasting. He was fasting, spiritually fasting before God. And not just two times a week, every moment of every day. Fasting, fasting. The Lord said in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself, and I want to emphasize those two words, humbleth himself shall be exalted. Whoever denies himself, rejects himself. Big difference in rejecting food and rejecting self. Big difference in rejecting anything. You know, people say, well, that's never touched my lips. Well, that's fine. But what we need to be doing is not rejecting items. We need to be rejecting self. Denying self. The Lord said that man is going to receive the blessing. That man is going to be justified. Now, spiritually speaking, we are nothing but empty before God. We're empty. Our flesh is nothing but sin. There is nothing in us that has the ability to sustain us or nourish us unto eternal life. Nothing. Our only hope is that Christ will sustain us. Sustain us in His blood. You know, we are sustained by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our only hope is that Christ will nourish us with His body, with His Word, with His Spirit, with His life. And that eternal blessing from God is only made known to us through our rejection, our absolute rejection and denial of ourselves. We deny our works, we deny our will, we deny our way. We deny it. Our absolute denial of ourselves and our complete and total clinging to Christ alone, His way alone, that way of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blessing is openly made known when a man or a woman realizes his emptiness, is emptied of himself, emptied of herself, and filled with the fullness of Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 8. Mark 8, verse 34, it says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So the spiritual application of fasting is being willingly empty before God. Willingly, God's people are. God's people are fasters in the heart. Willingly, consciously denying self before God. All right, and now the physical application of fasting is the exact same thing before men. Spiritually, it's before God. Physically, it's before men. It's a willing emptiness before men. It is a denial of self before men. And I'm going to tell you, it is beautiful. It is a beautiful characteristic that God gives to His people. It is a lovely, lovely thing. Our Lord was the great example of this. Look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing." Matthew's account says he fasted. "And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." The tempter, the adversary, said to him, he said, "It's within my power to give you earthly, worldly satisfaction, riches, and glory." And we all really ought to think about that. You know, people say, I have people tell me this all the time. "How you doing? How y'all doing?" "Oh, blessed. We're so blessed." "How are your kids doing?" "Oh, they're so blessed. Their business is booming. The money is flowing. Everything." Our adversary said, and he said this, and God put it in His Word because God did give him this. He said, "It has been given to me to dole out riches and to dole out worldly glory and worldly fame and all those things." Let's make sure that we keep a straight eye on what truly is the blessing of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's fasting. That has to be given too. But honestly, let's keep a single eye on what is good and right for us. But that tempter said, "If you'll fall down and worship me," he said, "I'll give you all that. All you have to do is just bow down to me and I'll give it to you." And our Lord would not do it. As a man. Now this was God, but this was man. You know, He was tempted with things we could never resist. But He would not do it. He did not do it. He denied Himself before men. He denied the satisfactions of this world. He could have had anything. He denied the riches of this world. He denied the glories of this life. There's nothing wrong with riches as long as it doesn't cost us the gospel and doesn't cost us Christ. If we got to move to another place where the gospel is not, it's not worth it. And our Lord willingly took, on this earth, He took the empty place the lacking place among the people, amazingly, He humbled Himself. And He told us in Matthew chapter 5, He said, that's the key to happiness in this life. He said, that's the blessed state. I'm telling you, that's the blessed state. That meek, lowly, poor in spirit, humility. When sorrow is overwhelming us, the key to healing and happiness, and this is it. If we want to lay hold of it, if we want to get it, this is it. When sorrow or any type of depression or any type of whatever takes hold of us, the key to healing and happiness is a denying of self. A denying of self and a crying out to God. I want to show you one more verse and then I want to close by reading you something, all right? Look with me at Matthew 17. Matthew 17, the disciples here tried very hard, but they could not cure a man's lunatic son. So the man brought his son to the Lord. And Matthew 17, verse 18 says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. He said, it's because you were not looking to me. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith, and faith is looking to Christ, waiting on Christ, trusting in Christ. That's what faith is. If you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. How do you do that in faith? This is what you do. You say, Lord, if you want to remove the mountain, you'll remove the mountain when you're good and ready to remove the mountain. And if you don't, you won't, and it won't be. But it's not in my hands. It's totally in your hands. I can do nothing of myself. Nothing. That's faith. But he said, you'll say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Watch verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. He said, that's what it takes. He said, you could not do it because you were looking to yourselves and not to me. And that's what we do. That's what we do. That's what we do. You were looking to your own ability, your own work, your own glory and gratification in it. And he said, you weren't looking to me. He said, healing only comes from prayer and fasting. True healing within. I mean true help. True happiness. I'm going to tell you, I know trials are going to come for the rest of my days on this earth. I may have one more day. I may have 365 times 50. I don't know. Trials are going to come. Sorrows are going to come. Depressions are going to be there. They are going to be there. But healing will come and happiness can be there in sorrow. Happiness can be there. In trial, happiness can be there. In depression, happiness can be there if I will just deny myself and cry out to my Lord. If He'll give me the ability to do that. I mean, not with lip service. I mean, truly deny myself and ask myself this question. Who am I? And then say, who is He? Happiness will come. Healing will come. It will come. Now, I want to close this with something here. I believe this will emphasize what this is talking about. This true healing and true happiness from denying ourselves for Christ's sake. That's why we do it. We deny ourselves for Christ's sake, and it's because He denied Himself for our sake. He did it first. And that's our motivation. But a man named Bill Britton wrote something here. And I don't know who this man is, and I don't know when he wrote it. I don't know if it's new or a couple of hundred years old. I don't know. But his article is called Dying to Self, and that's just another way of saying denying self. All right, this is what he said, and this is so good. I saw this years ago. I bet you I've been holding on to this for 10 years at least. I stuck it in my Bible. It's just been sitting in my Bible for 10 years. When you are forgotten, have you ever felt forgotten? Well, all attention used to be on me, but it's not anymore. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or oversight, but your heart is happy, counting it worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When you're dead to yourself, you don't feel the sting. You don't feel the... When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any unpunctuality, or any annoyance, when you can stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as the Lord Jesus endured it, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, or any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation. Man, I'd love to learn that one of these days. Or itch after commendation. When you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper. Listen to this one. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God, while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstance, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself, and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. He said, are you dead yet? In these last days, the Spirit would bring us to the cross. In these last days, the Spirit of God, thank God, will in loving kindness bring us to the cross. He said, let a man deny himself, take up his cross. And then he quoted, that I may know him, being made conformable unto his death. That is dying to self. Our Lord said, if we will be this way, not just outwardly, but inwardly, before God and men, He said, and this is so, He said, the Father which seeth these secret things will fill us with so much more than we lack. If He fills us with Christ, we will be filled with the fullness of all things. So here's where I'll leave us. May the Lord teach us the importance of having a fasted heart. And may He give us one. May He teach us the importance of having one. And may He give us one. All right, you're dismissed.